Reformed Church.
How cool is it that the Bible says, when Paul wrote to Timothy and said that he was writing so that Timothy would know how to conduct himself in the house of God, which is the pillar and the support of the truth. And you've heard it taught before that it's a reference to the temple there, the pillar and the support of the truth, which you see with the pillars and the oxen, which are literally supporting a bowl of water, which is representing the truth. And that we would know how to conduct ourselves in the house of God, not meaning in the house of God as if the building is the house of God, but us being in the house of God, like included in the house of God, being the house of God ourselves. And when you look at how God diagrams how we ought to conduct ourselves, to just, like, what an awesome thing. It just confirms everything that, you know, we've been learning from the Lord, that it's correct. It just confirms that again to you when, you know, you hear about rest from your works, you hear about, you know, what the leading of the Holy Spirit really is. It's not the Holy Spirit telling you what to do and then you go carrying it out. It's you believing in Jesus, you setting your mind. And it is true. There are actions on our part that are necessary, but it's the Holy Spirit that does it through us. It, rest from works is not neglecting the necessity of godliness, neglecting the necessity of miracles, it's actually putting the necessity on it, but giving up on yourself at the same time. It's doing both. You can't neglect one or the other. You can't say works are so necessary, we ought to be doing them. And you can't say works aren't necessary because we have rest from our works. You can't say either. You have to say we have rest from our works because we serve God in newness of the Spirit because the works are so necessary. It's necessary. People won't get saved if there aren't works. We won't profit if there aren't works. You cannot profit the same way in your life if you don't have life, miracles of life and godliness working in your life. So they're necessary fruits, but they're fruits of your mere belief. You believe, and so many people confuse belief and faith with the actions. People use terms like step of faith, leap of faith. And if by leap of faith you literally just mean I took a great leap in my faith because I learned something, of course that would be fine. But walking by faith, and they substitute walking by faith, a work of faith, etc., for faith. And we're confusing two different things. A work of faith means a work that came from your faith. It's not part of faith. A work is not a part of faith. Faith is something that just happens between your ears. That's all that it entails. And it's just so, you know, faith without works is dead. I believe that term. Faith without works is dead. That you need to believe and activate faith. That means just seeing Jesus and learning him until it produces works. If there aren't works accompanying, then there's still something missing with the faith. I believe that. But there's a confusion with faith and works as if it's you have to do both of them, or if you do one of them and it produces the other. There's a disconnect there with a lot of people. Even the examples that James gave about faith and works, for instance, even with Abraham, he talks about faith and works being necessary, but then he's even talking in context of salvation, but the work even that he gives as an example for Abraham happened decades after he first believed and was made righteous. He quotes, and he believed, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, which happens in Genesis 15, and then he quotes something that happened in, I believe, Genesis 20-something, which is after Isaac had already been born and was already a young boy, and it happened decades afterwards. That was a work that followed faith, but works follow faith. Works don't happen at the same time as your initial faith. They follow it. It's a result of it. And so it's so important to, of course, it's not a dismissal of works on the outside. It's just attributing them to the Holy Spirit and not to yourself. God has not given you the work. God has given you an obedience of faith. He's asked you just to believe him. He will. Every single thing, I was just writing an article last night, and I was just writing this in there, that every single thing that God calls you to is beyond you. Sometimes we just pick the easy stuff. We'll say, you know, healing the sick, raising the dead, yeah, I trust the Lord with that. But, you know, as far as, you know, these other things, these are the easy things that I can do for God. And it's the things you're trying to do in your own effort are things that you believe in yourself over. Those are things that you believe you can do them. Otherwise, you wouldn't try to do them, which is why a lot of people don't try to, if God told you to, you know, fly up and touch the ceiling, you wouldn't try to do it because you'd be like, Lord, you got to help me with that. Because you would be at the end of yourself and you'd realize that, Lord, I can't, and you would believe him and trust him for it. So anyway, it's just important to understand all of that, and the fact that, like, I just think it's such a cool thing to just being reminded of that the diagram of our conduct that God expects from us is a house of God laying down by a river, you know, which is the same symbolism with the sheep lying by rivers of water, same Psalm 23 thing, you lead me by still waters or waters of rest. You just see a house lying down and the fountain bearing the fruit out the door, and it's like that's the heart of God for every single believer, and that includes us, that God does want us to have that, bear that in mind, that he's not expecting anything from our life of ourselves. God has no expectations of you. Like, that is such a freeing thing. Zero expectations from your life. You know, getting things straight, improving things, zero expectations on your life. We confuse, and I'm done right now, but we just confuse the fact that godliness is a good thing. It's more than good. It's excellent. Godliness is excellent. It's pure. It's lovely. It causes relationships to flourish. It causes things in our life to be ordered and to profit, right? Life is an excellent thing. It's healing for our bodies and living long, meaning forever, as the days of heaven on the earth. And these are pure, awesome, beautiful things. But you confuse that with God's expectations. God can approve of these things, which everyone should, but he has zero expectations for you to ever fulfill these things in your life, ever. Why? Because he's given you one job, and that is to believe him. Our job as the church, and I really am stopping right now, but our job as the church is to show people what Jesus did so they can believe it and receive both life and godliness. Godliness is important, but it's a fruit of the mere belief. And you say, but what if people go off and live in sin? What if people go off and you know, they don't care about God? Well, they're not doing the one thing then. It's not that there's nothing to do. It's that it's only belief in Jesus. And someone that just wants to go off and live in sin and turn the grace of God into lasciviousness, as the book of Jude says. It actually says in the book of Jude, they deny the only Lord Jesus. Meaning, they may be turning the grace of God into sin, but it's not because they're really getting to know Jesus and then they're doing that. They're not getting to know Jesus. There's something wrong with the faith. You see what I'm saying? Bring it back to this. Well, what if people live ungodly? Well, then there's something they don't know about Jesus, and you need to teach them. What if I'm living in some kind of ungodliness? What do I do? There's something I don't know about Jesus, or I forgot, or I'm neglecting, or I'm not pursuing the knowledge of Jesus the way that I should, or something I haven't learned yet, right? Maybe I am pursuing the knowledge of Jesus, but I haven't learned it yet. But it's a lack of knowledge, just like anything else. Bring it back to that. God wants the law between your eyes, but he has no expectations on you living anything out, performing anything at all for him. It's all gone. There's no yoke on you, and it's just freedom. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There's liberty, and that's actually in context talking about freedom from the law, if you actually read the context. Because the Spirit is the opposite of the law. The law asks you to serve God. The Spirit now doesn't ask you to serve. He serves through you. Not in oldness of the letter, but in newness of the Spirit. And if that's true, then therefore where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom from the law. There's freedom from your work. There's freedom from performing for God. We don't have to perform anything for God today. We just need to believe correctly. If we do that, go with what you want to do. If you're really delighting in the Lord, if you're really setting your mind on the Lord to seek him, then do what you want to do. It flows that easy. You see a child today that you feel inclined to, whether they look like they need help or not, you feel inclined to encourage them, then go and encourage them. But it doesn't have to be everything and all at once. It's just, again, the widow that Elijah was sent to. It's just the things that you are inclined to do after you're delighting yourself in the Lord, do those things. And you're fulfilling your office in the church, because your office is not every office. It's not every office. It's just particular things. And being led by the Holy Spirit makes it very easy. When you're doing it all in the flesh, very hard. And that's the law. So anyway, I want to leave you with that. It's rest from works. Works are important, but just believe in Jesus and it'll produce it by the Spirit.
We hope you enjoyed this message. from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformchurch.com.